What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. Jack, what's up?
Winners are grinners.
Jack was lucky enough to be at the game. The Nets picked up a W tonight against the Houston Rockets, 123-116. As always, though, a quick reminder, you can find us on iTunes, otgbasketball.com, netsrepublic.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio. Also, we got a discount code for you for FOCO USA. OTG Nets will save you 10% off two NBA items. But, Jack, what do you want to get into first about this Nets victory?
I mean, there was a lot of positive to take away from it. It's not the perfect performance, but I think the number one thing was it was really good to be there and so close in some quality seats to see the improved defense.
Lucky you, Jack. No, I'm just kidding. When I went, they didn't play a good defense at all. But the defense definitely really picked up, and we kind of talked before the show started. Three quarters of this game, the Nets were very good. In that first quarter, they were probably good for the first half. It was just the second half when the bench came in that first quarter, they were bad. But you could see the defense pick up, not only just like one-on-one defense. I felt like the help defense was better, rotations were better, more activity, more deflections. There were more fouls, but that's going to come with more aggressive defense.
Yeah, I thought that the scheme and obviously the way that we defended against the Houston Rockets was quality in terms of the fact that, you know, there would be rotations and switches which were, you know, made to defend against the Houston Rockets team, whereas the way we defended the Indiana Pacers was just like how we would defend against the Rockets, but it's a different team and they play different schematically. You know, when James Harden would get switched or when he would drive, they would collapse on him. And there were just some quality rotations. Jared Allen, I think, despite his box score, you know, you look at the 10 rebounds. I loved his rebounding tonight. I thought he was really aggressive. But he was plus 29 and led the team in that in 31 minutes. He was absolutely a monster when he was out there. He made things really difficult for anyone who wanted to get into the paint. Just really impressed with the communication as well. And Jared Allen himself spoke to Garrett Temple, being a real focal point on that end of the floor, really communicating. He was awesome when he was on Russell Westbrook or James Harden as well. You know, he was getting blocks, he was swiping, and he was the only guy off the bench who was positive in the plus minus.
Yeah, and I'll touch on Jared Allen first. I thought this was an excellent defensive game from him, and this really showcased some of his potential as a defensive player. We were talking about the halftime show. Not only did he do a great job with rim protection, but he was switched on the Harden and Westbrook a couple times, and I thought he did a great job considering how good those two players are. And Torian Prince, Joe Harris, Garrett Temple, Caris LeVert, I thought all those guys did a solid job on Westbrook and Harden, just making their life difficult. And I like the concept by Kenny to continue to kind of switch who was defending each guy so they couldn't get comfortable with one person.
And I think as well that makes it easier for the team as a whole to not lose their energy. You know, it's a taxing effort to have to go against James Harden and Russell Westbrook for 48 minutes. They are superstars. As much as the fact that, you know, it can be easy because you expect to sort of what's going to happen with James Harden. And he got a couple of calls that he might or might not have should have gotten. I know I put a photo on my Twitter at the JManJVT about him talking to a referee after Garrett Temple got a block and he thought it was a foul. And Russell Westbrook does the same. They like to chirp a lot, these Houston Rockets. It was pretty funny to sort of be there for that. But yeah, the defense was really good. I think just the activity and energy was just there. It was, you know, there were guys making the right rotations. There was communication. There was a heightening of standards. You know, there was a sense of urgency that I don't think we've seen at this point of the season. And again, there's still things to improve on. It wasn't perfect. You know, the Houston Rockets still did score 116 points. But, you know, in that second and third quarters to keep them to 26 and 24 points respectively, I thought it was a really fair effort.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing is they showcase good team defense at points, and we really didn't see that in the first couple games of the season. And you have to be a good team defense and to win games in the NBA, so that was very important. And just to touch on your earlier point about Garrett Temple and the communication, we mentioned to each other how it kind of could be something that would rub off on the other players. If the defense is vocal, they're going to have more success, and they're going to make better reads, and we saw that tonight, you know, where James Harden was rolling to the rim. Guys were reading that, hey, we know he's going to try to throw a lob or a bounce pass to Capella. We're going to be there, so he can't make that pass. It's going to be that split second that kind of forced them to turn over a bad shot.
Yeah, it was literally only one or two times where that play happened. And, you know, it's one of the it's always you're in no man's land half the time. And that's where I thought Jared Allen was incredible. I thought that he was just in the perfect positioning, whereas DeAndre Jordan would just get caught in lapses at times. And I thought Jared Allen, you know, it's reflected. He had 31 minutes. DJ only had 16. But Nick, and I think as well, just to before we do move on to some other things, when they were guarding in transition as well, guys are putting their hands up straight away. So like Torian Prince will put his hand up, like, oh, I've got James, or Karis Levert will put his hand up. That was just a nice little indicator to just show that they were engaged on that end of the floor. To show, okay, well, I've got this guy, well, that means I need to find someone else. It's just a simple thing, but I don't think that that's happened as much in the other previous four games. It was something that it was really encouraging to see in person.
Yeah, and that's something that you just have to do more when you have a new team. Guys have to communicate, hey, I have him, I have him. And I thought transition defense was better in general. A couple times you saw three guys get back and Westbrook really had to either turn into a bad shot or kind of slow down because the guys were there and ready to defend. But we can't say the Nets wouldn't have played good defense if Kenny didn't have those signs.
I put on Twitter literally minutes ago as I got out of the train, I'm like, Kenny Atkinson's defensive card isn't the meme that we want. It's the meme that we need. It's going to be done to death. It's amazing. And for those that didn't see, it's going to be all over Twitter. And the original has, you know, Dennis Scott on it with a cross sign through it. So he's like, no defense on the three-pointer is what he explained. And he said it was just a way of sort of communicating to the players because he's found it hard in the past to sort of be able to do that, especially in a quite a lively atmosphere as well. It was hilarious. But when I saw it, I'm like, what's he doing right now? I mean, we've had some like dumb moments from coaches in the past that are of the Brooklyn Nets, i.e. Jason Kidd with the spilled coat. But it was kind of clever. And I mean, you know, he was asked to, and we sort of explained why he did it. I thought it was pretty cool. And I think it shows a bit of Kenny Atkinson's personality as well. I mean, I'm all for the memes.
Yeah, he was thinking outside the box. The best caption I saw is Kenny Atkinson hates players only, which true. I think we all can agree with. But
true. Very true.
Jack, where do you want to move on to next? Do you think we should go player specific or talk about the offense as a whole?
Yeah, I thought the offense as a whole, Nick, was it just looked like they were wanting to get into sets. They were wanting to move the ball more, which I think is positive. You know, 26 assists. I think we only had 21 or 22 from memory against the Indiana Pacers. But it was in the flow. You know, the Nets were really getting out in transition. They were pushing the pace hard. And Torian Prince was flames early. You know, Joe Harris was 3 of 4. Torian Prince, 6 of 10. Absolutely insane. And Kyrie Irving, 5 of 8. To have three legitimate three-point shooters just makes this offense so much more potent. And Karis LeVert got in on the fun as well, hitting one for himself. I just thought that there were so many good looks. You know, the only moments was when some of the bench was out there and sometimes, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie or Jalen Musa or Rodion Skurcz just seemed like that they weren't fitting into the schemes overall and weren't necessarily contributing to positive basketball. But I thought holistically and looking at the game overall, everything just seemed to click that little bit more.
Yeah, after they had the 10 turnovers in the first quarter, they only had 10 the rest of the game. And it just felt like, you mentioned getting into sets more movement without the ball, more ball movement in general. Then I also like the cuts tonight. I felt like the cuts were a lot harder to the rim, and that makes a big difference for the offense. And you mentioned also the sets. There was a lot of multiple actions on plays where guys just couldn't sit at the perimeter and have an easy job rotating. We saw in the Pacers game, it was just a lot of ball watching from the guys without the ball. That wasn't the case tonight.
No, it definitely wasn't. And obviously, you know, speaking about the three-point shot, 19 of 32. From
ridiculous.
It's insane. It's not going to happen every night, but you need to capitalize when it does. You know, even, you know, Garrett Temple as well, when he was taking up that pull-up three, you know, his mechanics are absolutely gorgeous in motion. 4 of 6 from three. It was ridiculous how many open looks that we did get. And I think a lot of that is the Houston Rockets defense, but we capitalized on it and we made them pay.
Yeah, and I think even against the Pacers, they had a lot of open threes they didn't hit. Tonight, they took advantage of it a little bit more. And you're going to have that. You're going to have cold nights. You're going to have hot nights. And tonight was a super hot one.
Yeah, I think that in terms of just watching the defense out there, PJ Tucker does so much for that team. Yeah. And whenever he gets switched onto a guy, I'm like, all right, let's move the ball. Let's try and attack a guy like Ben McLemore or James Harden or Russell Westbrook. So he has to carry a load similar to what Draymond Green does with the Golden State Warriors. But when we were capitalizing, it was just, it felt like that the synergy was there and what we haven't seen it yet. There's still a ways to go, but, you know, obviously turnovers are still an issue. You know, Kyrie Irving with 6 and Karis LeVert with 5. But I think they were trying to get guys involved a lot of the time. And I think a lot of those turnovers did come early as well.
Yeah, they were more so just kind of over-aggressive with passes, you know, trying to hit the bigs rolling to the rim, maybe in situations where they should have shot. And Kyrie said afterwards that he was maybe trying to do too much and he should have shot in some of those situations instead of just trying to force a pass.
Yeah, I thought that there were some times when the finishes on the around the rim, he would normally get those. It just like it didn't seem like he had that little bit of extra oomph. But you know, he was still, you know, Kyrie Irving at the end of the day. He still had a double double and four rebounds and was plus 10. So obviously
and that dagger three.
That dagger three. I mean, we saw it against the New York Knicks, and he's a special player. He's a very special player. So to be there for that as well, Will, was pretty special. But his game overall, you know, to have a subpar performance and still have a double-double, still be 7 of 18 from the field and plus 10 in plus minors, it's not a bad performance. You know, we've got an MVP caliber player on our roster right now.
Yeah, it was. It was impressive. And we kind of talk about this sometimes on the bus, sometimes on the outlet, sometimes on JBT. You know, good players might have bad games, but when it comes to the fourth quarter, they're going to step up. And not only did he have that dagger three, I thought that really deep three he had that kind of gave the Nets, I want to say, an 11-point lead late in that fourth quarter was huge.
Yeah, he just knows when cometh the man, cometh the moment. And I think that epitomizes Kyrie Irving, you know, in a nutshell. And obviously, though, instead of C's, you replace them with K's because it's Kyrie Irving, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but let's talk about my guy, Caris LeVert. I thought he was excellent tonight. His ability to get to the rim, had some great passes in there, and it really felt like at times no one on Houston could defend him.
Man, that floater, I mean, it was all over Twitter, KD and Theo getting up and about. It was pretty awesome because that was on my end and when he was attacking as well. So to be there for that, I was certainly hype. I probably got a little bit too loud. I was channeling your energy, Nick, while I was there. I had to sort of be loud for both of us. But he was just strong tonight. I think that was probably one word that I would probably describe. He was strong and purposeful. And he hit his free throws. 8 of 9 from the charity stripe. And he hit that three. You know, he just looks like, and a lot of people are complaining about the fact, and I've seen people on Nets who are like, well, he's not a star yet. I'm like, well, what more do you want from a kid like this who had such an insane performance tonight? He was incredibly important. And I think that the way our starting lineup is right now, there seems to be, you know, not as many issues. And I think that that's one thing that we can at least rely on.
Yeah, the starters are substantially better than the bench right now. And just to touch on Caris a little bit more, I like the fact you said he was strong. He was aggressive attacking the rim, and that's why he got free throws. But I liked his defensive activity. He was good on James Harden. He also had a couple deflections out there that just disrupted what Houston was trying to do. And then to just toss in some extra hustle plays, like we mentioned, pushing the ball in transition either with a pass or himself driving.
Yeah, I thought that he just knew what to do at the right amount of times. He penetrated. He was kicking the ball out at the right times. He was finding the right guys in transition. And he when he was out in transition, boy, oh boy, he's a hard man to defend on any night of the week, let alone tonight when he was certainly feeling it. But I really like the minutes distribution as well. In terms of like the coaching from Kenny tonight, he just knew, and obviously David Nwaba wasn't out there. Musa replaced him for a few minutes, but he was minus 17 in 4 minutes and was immediately yanked. It just seemed like Coach Kenny had a great feel for the game tonight, riding his players that little bit more. You know, Prince with 34 minutes, Harris as well, and Kyrie Irving with 34 minutes. And then our other two starters, Jared Allen with 31 and Caris LeVert with 32.
And then Garrett Temple getting 24, I thought was big. And that essentially took minutes away from Nwaba or Musa getting them in the second half. And I thought that was honestly the difference because Temple gives you solid defense with at least giving you solid offense too, where you look at the other guys, Musa might give you solid offense, obviously still being very young in this NBA. And Nwaba is going to give you good defense, but essentially no offense.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a catch 22, but at the end of the day, I thought it was smart coaching from Kenny tonight on a lot of factors. But
I love the fact he played Jared Allen substantially more minutes than DeAndre Jordan because it was apparent Allen was so much better tonight.
Yeah, he was so much more effective, and in terms of just so many factors, why, you know, he was probably one of the more aggressive nights I've seen from Jared Allen in person. When the Houston Rockets decided to go small, he was like, all right, well then if you guys are going small, I've got 3 inches on you guys. I'm going to try and get these boards. Some of the times he got the steals and some of the times it didn't work, but I like the fact that he was aiming to get there. And like I said, plus 29 in only 31 minutes, you know, it just shows how ridiculously important he was to us overall.
His mobility defensively is just such a huge factor. And I know we talked about the defense a lot before, but it almost allows the Nets to get more switchable. And I think we've talked about this. I think getting to a switchy defense, at least by the time the postseason come, is going to be important because sometimes you just have to do it with the way guys are hitting pull-up threes in this NBA.
Yeah, I think that it makes the most sense. And I think tonight's performance showed that we can play that style of defense. But he was great. But Torian Prince was pretty insane
monster
as well.
Nice. He looked like a third option tonight.
He did. And I think in terms of that, he is the prototypical third option on a lot of teams, or the third or fourth option. You know, 6 of 10 from the three-point line, absolute flames. You know, 9 of 17 from the field, 12 boards, an assist, a steal, a block, and 27 points overall. The player breakdown of him, like I put on Twitter, is going to be a fun one.
I loved his defense. I loved his one-on-one defense. I thought he was better as a help defender tonight. And also, off-ball movement wasn't crazy, but it was just enough where he'd get an opening and give himself an opportunity to knock down a big three. And we saw that tonight. And, hey, if they're going to give a ton of attention to Joe Harris at the three-point line, Torian Prince is going to capitalize, and getting 10 attempts, I think, is great for him.
Yeah, I think it's just he just was reading what the game was giving him, and he was getting those open threes, and the Houston Rockets were leaving him open. The dude can hit them. You know, he was a little bit cold in the previous one or two games, but this was just a perfect night for him. He was ridiculously important. You know, when he was switched on to some of the smaller guys, he was just there. It just was such an awesome performance. His best game of the season, and it should give him
one of the best of his career, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, probably is. I mean, it's hard to sort of – we don't necessarily haven't looked at it in previous iterations in Atlanta that much, but this game just shows that he is going to earn that contract and then some.
Yeah, I believe he tied his career high in three-point makes with 6, and then it was a career high in rebounds in 12, which was huge. And then his also activity and transition offensively. You saw him be on the end of a couple of nice passes to get an easy dunk or lay-in, and I think that's big. His overall game tonight was just really impressive, and the fact the Nets got him for, what, 2 years, $29 million, seems like it's going to be a steal if he can kind of play at this level even every other game or every four games.
Yeah, I think that we don't expect him to have these sort of performances game after game. But, you know, as a starter, just to hit those threes and do the right things, tonight was just his night. You know, to have three guys, you know, above 20 points and then a couple more to be in double digits as well. You know, Joe Harris had a low-key nice performance, and Garrett Temple, I thought, was outstanding. It was a team performance in a lot of ways. There weren't many guys out there who were playing significant minutes who were poor. DeAndre Jordan, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jalen Moose, and Mauricio Scurrits were the only guys who I thought were net negatives. And, you know, the plus minus does reflect that too.
Yeah, and let's get to DeAndre Jordan a little bit. Did you think it was a rough game for him?
Yeah, I think that, like, you know what you get out of DeAndre Jordan. He's going to get the boards, but he gets a little bit chatty and a bit yappy too much with the refs. He seems to get in his head a little bit. Maybe he's not in his head, but he just, I think that he needs to change his game somewhat and be a bit more physical and insert his presence on that end of the floor, because he is a big dude. He's a massive guy, especially seeing him in person as well. You know, he can absolutely eat up the boards, but he just is so slow laterally. It's a real net negative, especially against a team like the Houston Rockets, who really love to penetrate the lane and really force the issue down there. So it was a bad matchup for him. I think that we'll probably see him play some extra minutes against a guy like Andre Drummond against Detroit, and maybe if Derek Favors comes back as well for the New Orleans Pelicans. But, you know, this matchup, I think, you know, it shows us, you know, we've got a 5-game sample size, and Coach Kenny so far has been doing the right thing in terms of how he's utilizing our centers. Tonight wasn't DeAndre Jordan's night. That's fine. Jared Allen has a big game. There was another game where DeAndre Jordan, he was a little bit better against the Pacers. Our rebounding, I think, is a real strong suit now. And it's funnily enough, we did beat the Pacers in rebounding, out rebounding them. I don't think it's a be all and end all, but a lot of the time when the Nets do rebound well, they do win. But obviously the Houston Rockets do like to play small as well. So I think it's a combination of a number of factors.
Another guy who came off the bench and I thought he had a poor game as well was Spencer Dinwiddie. He just looked in a funk tonight. I don't know. Something was off. Maybe he was sick. He just didn't look right.
Well, it's funny because I saw him going back to the locker room a few times, because I was sort of to the right of the locker room. I was able to actually see Sean Marks as well, who was hanging out next to there as well. He seemed to come out late. He was sitting on the bench as well. I don't know if it's his normal pregame warm-up to just sit down and not necessarily do a heap. He might have had a bit of a bug. I'm sure the Brooklyn Nets training staff are not going to let anything slip. But I think we'll probably get a bounce-back performance from him against the Detroit Pistons. But it wasn't his day, and it's two bad performances from Spencer Dinwiddie. But, you know, we have really high standards of him. You know, 2 of 7 from the field, 5 points, only 2 assists, couple of turnovers and 4 fouls as well. He was just doing some silly things, and it just didn't seem like he had the requisite energy that we know he normally does have.
If I had to make a guess, I honestly think that he was sick. He just, like, even from his face, he just, like, didn't look right. And there was a couple possessions in the second half where I felt like he was doing what he did against the Pacers and taking the ball away from Caris LeVert when he was hot, and kind of did some possessions himself that resulted in nothing. And that's what we can't have from Spencer. We need him to still be that backup point guard and not just that backup six man slash scorer.
Yeah, I think it's hard because he's almost, I think, finding it toughest out of all of the important parts, finding what his role is within this team. You know, we spoke about, you know, last season, the season before, you know, he gets thrust in. He probably has the hardest time adjusting because his role is the toughest to adjust to. He's sometimes a starter. He's sometimes with the starting unit. He's sometimes with Kyrie and Karis. He has to mix and match and sort of read the game in so many different ways. And that's got to be challenging for a guy like him. You know, there's not necessarily a heap of consistency, but with a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie, we expect much more of him because he's an incredibly intelligent guy on and off the floor. So I expect him to get through this. But hopefully it happens sooner rather than later because, you know, we've got to keep this momentum now. And Spencer Dinwiddie is an incredibly important player, probably our third, fourth most important player. And when it comes to talent, you know, he leads that bench unit.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that sticks out, though, in a positive way is last year, hey, if like either Spencer, Karis, or D'Lo didn't have a good game, the Nets probably weren't winning, or you could throw Joe Harris into that mix as well. But now you look at the different options. We have Kyrie Irving, we have Karis LeVert, we have Spencer Dinwiddie, we have Torian Prince and Joe Harris. All five of those guys can hit 20. You know what I mean? And three of them can drop 30 on you. So I think having all these different offensive options, it's not as big a deal if somebody has a bad night, where in the past, if we saw a night from Spencer where he had 5 points, we'd say the Nets are screwed.
Yeah, I think it just shows now the depth of talent we do have on the roster. And it's a real positive thing that you can have, you know, poor performances from some of your important players, but then you have other guys step up to the nth degree, you know. It's still slightly worrying the bench just a little bit, but at least we had someone step up. And tonight that was Garrett Temple. And if we have Garrett Temple and Spencer Dinwiddie next game, then, you know, you've got a seven-man rotation there that you can trust and rely on. That's what you need when it comes to the playoffs. And, you know, the Nets, we hope to be there. We hope to be competing. You know, you want to have a quality roster in that sort of sense of the imagination. But, you know, I think the Detroit Pistons are a good matchup for Spencer to get back into some form. You know, DeAndre as well. You know, Rodion certainly does look out of sorts. He had a moment, but he just seems a little bit just
confused.
It just doesn't feel like he fits. It feels like he's finding his way even more so than what Spencer Dinwiddie is. And, you know, he's not playing with the requisite energy and the sort of almost reckless abandon that he did in his rookie season. And, you know, we've spoken about it before, but, you know, he's going to be a piece as well that we're going to have to rely on. And hopefully he has a big performance too. You know, the game didn't call for him tonight. I just think it wasn't the best matchup for him either because there were just so many threes down being shot. And, you know, his defense was a little bit lazy. He would give away ticky-tack fouls sometimes. But I think overall, more positives than negatives, which we, you know, in previous buzzes and when we've recapped the games, we haven't necessarily been talking about.
Yeah, it feels like this game is like 70% positives, where in the past it's been maybe 25%. And I'll say this about Spencer real quick, too. I thought some of his defensive effort was very good tonight, and that makes a difference. And you mentioned with Rodion's, he's just out of sorts, where like there was a couple of plays where he was playing really good defense and you hit on it, the ticky-tacky fouls. Like, man, just keep your hands up. You don't need to touch him. There was one specifically in Austin Rivers. He played it perfectly, moving his feet, but he just had to grab his arm for nothing.
Yeah, I saw a lot of those up close. I was really, really lucky with the seats that I had. I did pay a pretty penny for them, but I only get to see the Nets a couple of times over a year. So I'm going to splurge a little bit. But yeah, he has real good athleticism. We know he is an incredible athlete. Obviously, he isn't strong, but he knows how to move. He is incredibly quick. It's just sometimes I think he just, you know, he has these quote-unquote brain farts, these brain little spurts, which is like, okay. And a lot of the time, he'll put his hand up after him. Like, I saw him like, yeah, we know, Rody. We just don't need to do that in the first place. But, you know, he'll learn from it. He's still a young guy going forward. And like I posted on my Twitter tonight, I'm giving myself a lot of self-shout-outs because I posted a heap of fire content, as did Nick tonight, ladies and gentlemen, at OTG Nick. But there was a time, you know, in a timeout where KD had his arm around Rodion's and Jalen Moose. I didn't get that moment, but I got the moment where he kept on talking to them. And it was really positive to see because we've heard both of these guys revere Kevin Durant like no other. And it, I mean, it was just awesome seeing him in person. I was a little bit surprised because before the game, not to get off on a little bit of a tangent here, but he wasn't there. He wasn't out there for the warm-ups. And I'm like, ah, KD's not going to be here. It's a Friday night in New York City. He's probably doing something fun. But then by the time the game starts, I'm like, oh, there he is. And he's just such an overbearing presence. It's I couldn't stop watching him whenever there was a timeout, but fun performance and cool to see Kevin Durant that little bit closer this time around.
And he felt very active tonight. I don't know if I was just paying closer attention to Kevin Durant in general, but I saw him more involved with the coaches, more involved with his teammates. It just felt like he was really engaged and almost trying to help the team get the win more than he had in the past. We're like, hey, I think my knowledge could really help this young team. And just touching on Rodion's real quick is like, he just almost needs to get back to the fundamentals.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to. He hasn't been rebounding as. I think that's one thing when we spoke about in the player preview where we think he can be a really great rebounder. Obviously, it's a little bit hard when you're out there with DeAndre Jordan and he's trying to gobble all of them up at the same time, too. But, you know, I think you scrap away from him. You know, he's overthinking things, but, you know, I think that we're picking at it a little bit because, you know, he is a role player at the end of the day, but, you know, he's only played 9 minutes, but those 9 minutes were poor when he was out there. He did some nice things occasionally. Like I said, almost got the steal and slam at the halftime show, but, you know, I think he's going to find his footing. He is still a very, very young player in terms of NBA experience and basketball experience, like you've mentioned too, Nick. He barely played at Barcelona as well. So I think he's only going to get better. And, you know, this is, you know, it's for a young guy, it's not going to be all linear. It's not going to all be up. You know, I think we had high expectations heading into the new season because he was just so damn impressive in his opening season. But it's a new roster now and it's a new role. You know, he's no longer a starting power forward. Taurean Prince is much more talented and fits the system so much better. But he's going to find his footing. And again, you know, we're going to need him when it counts because there's going to be some injuries and we're going to need him hopefully peaking when the time matters.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think just expectations we had from going to the season based off of what we saw last year, but really the way he finished the season wasn't great. And that was kind of the Nets adjusting to having another star where maybe in the past the Nets team was less talented. He had more opportunities to kind of take shots or kind of do his thing. But Jack, anything else you want to touch on?
It's just my voice. I'm not sure if listeners can hear it, but it's struggling a little bit. Hopefully it improves a little bit by the Pelicans game because I hope to be there too. But it's a lot better. The mood is a lot better. I'm going to go get some food now. Hopefully Crif Dogs is still open and maybe even grab a side ahead to a sports bar because, you know, I'm feeling myself a little bit right now.
There you go, Jack. Enjoy yourself in New York City. I guess I do have one last question for you. Brooklyn will move Wilson Chandler suspended list after the game tonight. Do you expect them to sign Lance Thomas tomorrow?
It would be the logical move, I would assume, Nick. Haven't seen him on the bench at all to start the season. You know,
but I don't think he legally can be on the bench.
Oh, right. Okay, that's my bad. But, you know, Henry Ellenson has been there, Nicholas Claxton, those sort of guys. But I think if we were to add a Wilson Chandler to this rotation, it might take away a guy like Rodion Skuritz, Musa, you know, Nwaba's sort of minutes, but it might not be a bad thing. So it'll be interesting to sort of see. I don't think it necessarily affects the needle that much, but you can never have too many players that can contribute when, you know, it's an 82 game season and we've got 77 to go.
Yeah, and he's a good locker room guy, good veteran to have. We mentioned Garrett Temple having an impact with communication. I could see Lance Thomas doing something similar to that, probably in a lesser role. But it'll be interesting to see, depending on whoever they do sign, is Wilson Chandler going to play a game in a Nets uniform?
Yeah, it'll certainly be something to watch and something that we'll certainly be keeping on top of. But at least we're analyzing wins now, so we don't have to sort of clutch at straws and go, man, we need Wilson Chandler back. Man, we need some Lance Thomas out there. It's a lot more positive when the guys step up.
Yeah, and it felt like tonight was a momentum type game, and we're going to hopefully carry that momentum in tomorrow. We talk on the Buzz again, recapping the Pistons game, which you'll be able to find on iTunes, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio. Also, make sure you head to the Design Tree, DSGN, tree.com for some Brooklyn Buzz tees. Use discount code OTG5.